I want to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 and 28. It's somewhat of a reflection of what we talked about this morning, but in this we are in preparation to take of the Lord's Supper as we come to the Lord's table. When I was younger, my mom and dad were quite structured. I don't know. It's not near the case of what it is for me today. I didn't raise my kids as structured as this, but I can remember as a kid when I come to the table in the evening, Dad would come home. He worked early in the morning, would usually come home about 5:30, 6 o'clock, and it was structured in our home that that was supper time, and you were home at supper time, and you were at the table at supper time, and you had your hair combed, and you had a shirt on, and you had shoes on when you're at the table. Is this ringing for anybody? Okay, I got some of you are going, yep. Now, I had a chance. I was talking with my granny yesterday, and she talked about how she was raised. And when she was a kid, they came to the table. Nobody talked. Dad did devotional. He led them in prayer, and they ate. And nobody said a word. I mean, it was very structured. And to leave that table, you asked to be excused after your food was already gone. You know, such and so forth. But, you know, for me, it wasn't quite that bad. But, you know, I didn't have to ask to be excused. But there were still standards that you fulfilled when you came to that supper table. And much of that was my mom and dad recognized a family unit. We come together. We are together at least once throughout that day. We talk about our day. We talk about what was going on. And mom and dad want to know. Well, you know, when we come to the Lord's table, I got my shirt on. I got my shoes on. How about you? Got my hair combed. We go to extents of preparing to come to the Lord's table, don't we? Now, as I was going through as a kid, I was going through the outward preparations. God says, I want you to have inward preparations to come. Now, I know for many of us that have been faithful to the Lord and many that have been over the years that you know that this is a preparation, but I hope that this is just a reminder as we prepare. Let me go ahead and read our text. And I got just a few thoughts I wanted to share here. In 1 Corinthians 11, 27, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. You know, as we look at these today, he's challenging us to do a self-examination. Actually, when I had pastored one time, I had a church member that was so concerned about taking the Lord's Supper unworthily that she simply refused to take the Lord's Supper. Now, she had been a member of a church for, at the time, almost as long, if not longer, that I've been alive. So imagine being a young pastor, and I was very early in my ministry. This caught me by surprise of someone of that age and maturity and spiritual maturity. It wasn't like she, you know, was living a worldly lifestyle and just was scared to death to take the Lord's Supper, but she truly felt as though she was unworthy. And so it sent me on a study of exactly what does that mean to take it unworthily. Unworthily simply means to handle the Lord's Supper irreverently, to think of it less than what it is. And so when Brother Mike was playing that song, he's going to be playing some music as we normally do. But I thought, you know, we need to sing that song because does it not cause us to tremble? You know, when we think about that song, well, oh my, you know, why would I tremble over something? You know, God is love and God is, but yet it shows us the seriousness of what we're doing. Amen. Think of this for a moment. He instructed the church, only the church, to carry out this ordinance. And it was given to us to handle properly, but also it becomes a time of personal revival, time of self-examination as we come before the Lord. We're not handling it disrespectfully, but we're handling it reverently by looking at the death of the Lord Jesus. So here's a thought that I'm trying to encapsulate everything I'm trying to say. God is not looking for us to feel an emotion of worthiness brought on by a delusion of self-righteousness, but rather God is looking for a humble and reverent heart to come in recognition of our unworthiness in light of the worthiness of Christ. Amen. It is because of Him that we are here. It is because of Him that we are able to be here. And it's through Him that we take of this supper in remembrance of what He has done, in memorial of His death, in memorial of His life. And so this self-examination is that we're not going to feel worthy. And in fact, if we feel worthy, I think there would be more of a warning than if we did not. Amen. If we just thought that, well, I deserve this and, I'm going to be here and I'm going to do this no matter what, then there would definitely be a red flag. But to come in a reverent manner is the goal, the self-examination. So second is that we have been given the righteousness of Christ. So we come again, not based upon our righteousness, but what the worthiness and the righteousness of Christ. In Romans chapter 4, verse 20, as he says, He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what He had promised, He was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to Him for righteousness. As Paul was rehearsing the life of Abraham, the faith of Abraham, he is concluding that the salvation of the Lord Jesus, the promise that was granted, it was promised, was given to those under the law. It was also given to those who follow in faith, so that the promise that Jesus had given as the heir of heaven, the heir of faith, that He brought forth salvation to those who were under the law as well as those who are under faith, which is us. And because of the example of Abraham's faith, that he trusted in God, he was convinced that God would keep His promise. That is the very key of our salvation. It is the key of our Christian life, isn't it? We live not based upon what we are able to perform at the level that we can perform, but we're always coming to the Lord for repentance and forgiveness, but we live and strive for His consistency. We strive to have His consistency within us by living by the Spirit. And again, I'm reflecting much again from our morning message, but it is a reminder, amen? It is a reminder of what we're doing. And so we're free from all guilt because of the justification of the Lord Jesus, the shedding of His blood and the resurrection, that He has given us life. So number three, so what is the warning that we're given? 1 Corinthians 27 and 28. First of all, we're to pay the respect that God is due. It's kind of hard to find respect in the world that we live in today. Would you not agree? In fact, those who are in positions that God has designated to be places of respect do not receive respect anymore, do they? It's a breaking down of our society, to be honest. Anytime you begin to break down the foundations of a society, then obviously that society is going to struggle, as we've already seen. When we fail to show the respect to those things that is due, let the church not be accused of this very thing. May we give the respect that is due to the Lord Jesus as our Creator, as our Savior, and as our King. Amen? Let's keep Him on the throne. Let's keep Him in the place of reverence. Let's keep Him in the very center of our worship. Let's keep Him in the center of our lives and our motivations. He is the Almighty God, and the church is the one to proclaim that, demonstrate that, and live that out. And that's what we're doing here today. That's what we're doing here today. Second, we're recognizing the unconfessed sin in our lives. Here's a quote that I had read. I don't know the exact who gave it, but it says, when we sin, we have brought an assault upon the cross of Calvary. Sin is viewed from heaven as high treason against the Lord Jesus. I don't know about you, but those are strong words, aren't they? Those are strong words that we would never want to be uttered from our lips or accused of, but yet when we all have sin, we all have those sins that we need forgiveness for and that we bring to the Lord Jesus. And so we come to the table, it's time to give an account. You know, as I give you the example of my dad and my parents as I grew up, when I come to that supper table, there's always a question, what have you been up to today? And sometimes there was kind of a rolling of the eyes and going, think of a story, think of something quick. And so I tell them, and they, okay, that's a few things that you had done, but what have you been up to today? And inevitably, they could read my body language and know that there was a whole lot more to the story than what I was giving. Can any of you relate to that one? Yeah. You know, when we come to the Lord's house, He already knows. He doesn't just read our body language. He knows our hearts. He reads our hearts, and he welcomes us in. Listening to a song on the way here that remind me that he knows us fully, and yet he still loves us completely. Wow. Now that's love, isn't it? Sometimes we love each other until you do something to really mess that up, right? But yet Jesus already knows where we messed up and where we're going to mess up, and yet he still chooses to love us. Praise the Lord. So under point three, I've got another scripture verse I wanted us to look at. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 29 through 31. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. That is why we tremble. Amen? We've come to the table with the Creator who will judge all things, including his children. Last point, we're all broken sinners in need of healing and forgiveness. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." We have much to rejoice in today, don't we? We have much to respect. We have much to hold on to. He who committed no sin. You know, you could stop right there and nothing else would need to be said. The fact that he came in the flesh, he lived in the flesh, he fulfilled the law, completed the law, and then did so in a sinless manner is amazing. He, that one point alone, deserves all of our praise and all of our worship. But he goes on. He even bore our sins in his own body on the tree. No one could ever say that he is not the Savior. No one could ever say that he doesn't understand our pain. He doesn't understand our suffering. He bore our sin all the way to the point that the price was paid. He paid that price in full. He bore the very wrath of God upon himself. Is it any wonder that he suffered in the garden so heavily before he went to the cross? He knew all that he would bear, but he did so for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us. So when we come to the Lord's table, we're reminded of his love, reminded of the price that he paid for our sins, reminded of the forgiveness that he offers, and the call to service and obedience to him. We have a high calling to live in righteousness, the righteousness of Christ in our daily lives. And so as we come today, we're reminded again, are we following him and are we obeying him? So let's just take a few moments as we normally do. Let's just take a few moments in prayer to reflect upon the scriptures that we read for tonight. Let's reflect upon what God has for us tonight, that we may prepare our hearts and minds to come before him. So I'm going to give you just a few moments, if you will, and let's just take that few moments to prepare for tonight.